Okay, Rabosai, today's Mishnah and Masechet Mikvaot brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is Perek Aleph Mishnah Beit. So I just want to remind you of our beginning of the sugya yesterday, in which we talked about the lowest level of what might be water that is protected from Tumah. And it's not really a mikvah, but it's nonetheless similar to a bar mikvah mayim, in that it's natural water in a puddle. And this is called megivaim. And, now here was the big machlokas. And, according to all the Rishonim, but the Rambam, it shares a status of tahira, despite the fact that it doesn't have arboim saw, in that it's on the ground. And water on the ground will not be makabel tumah until it's taken off the ground. This is the approach of the Rush and the Rash and almost everyone else who gives a pirush to this Mishnah. The Rambam disagrees fundamentally with that yesod. And according to the Rambam, the only reason that we're talking about the mei giva, or the givaim, the puddles, which in the end the Mishnah is going to tell us later, that doesn't literally mean a puddle, it could be a mikveh that doesn't have arboim saw in it, is basically because it's talking about the water, not because it's water in the state of being connected to the ground. That's not important, according to the Rambam. But because it's water that has not as yet been given over to any type of human interference and direction. That's the problem. But according to the Rambam, in the same way that the water which is not connected to the ground, maybe it would be even inside of a bathtub, until if it rains in a bathtub, that water is not makabel tumah. But only because, not because it's connected to the ground, but only because of the fact that there was no human intent that was associated with it. The moment there's an intent, it's makabel tumah as if it were in a container, according to the Rambam, which is much less persuasive than the other Rishonim in terms of calling it a madrega of a mikveh, because, I mean, it's a little strange. In what sense is this madrega number one of the tahira of water on the ground? But according to the Rambam, it means it's madrega number one of the natural state of water. That's the important point. So water in its natural state is not going to be makabel tumah. It's not considered to be a mashke until somebody wants it to be a mashke. And as we pointed out yesterday, this relates very much to the concept of mashke that we've seen when it comes to Kabbalah's tumah in general, that there's a concept of kiyitain, and it's a kiyutan dumya to kiyitain. There has to be a human interest in the water in order for it to be considered a mashke to be makabel tumah, and in order for it to be considered a mashke in order to be machshir eichlin in order to be makabel tumah. Now, the way that this played out is that we constructed three Mishnayot out of the same situation. And what we're going to be talking about is three situations of how it is that same something became exposed to Tumah. And then in each one of those three situations, we're going to talk about three situations of how that which was exposed to Tumah was now utilized by someone and might have been metame him. So, the three situations in which something was exposed to tumah was a tamei person drank from it, or somebody put in a kli that was tamei to put it into that water, or tamei water falls into the puddle. Those are the three situations. Of these three situations, we've only spoken about the first one so far. The three things that happen to the water after it was exposed to the tumah through one of those three ways would be that then a tahara person drinks from it, A, or B, then a tahara kli is put into it, or C, a kikar of truma is put into it. Those are the first three mishnayos, variations on the same theme. Okay, so yesterday we talked about variation one. Somebody tamei drank from it. We pointed out the differences between the Rambam's approach and the advantages in the Rambam's approach. because in the other approaches, what's very weird is that in the third case where a kikar of truma falls into it, it says that if you wanted to wash it off, so then it becomes tame, which is ridiculous. Who wants to wash off a piece of bread? I mean, it doesn't really make sense. That's just strange. I mean, it doesn't prove anything, but it's very strange. Because always when we talk about imla hadiach, it means to wash off your hands, or it means where you put in something to wash that thing off specifically, which is meant to be washed. And the other issue is that if you don't learn like the Rambam, and you learn that water that's attached to the ground cannot be makabel tuma, even if a person wants it to be exposed to tuma, unless it's actually taken out from its attachment to the ground, then you're going to have to explain why in the case where the person drank from the water that had been in his mouth, fine, he swallowed that water. He let a little bit of water fall back into the puddle, yes, but why wouldn't that puddle be mevato, the one drop of water, the little bit of water that fell back into it, since all of it can't be makabel tuma, only the part that was in his mouth was tuma? Those were the important issues that we had discussed yesterday, and we were also worried about the fact that initially, before the second thing happened, that somebody came along and put in a kli tahar, if the water during that period had been butel, how did it get to be unbutel? Because it says that tuma is not chozer v'neir. It doesn't become suddenly back alive again because you've reignited the issue. Okay. The same exact arguments are going to be true about the Mishnahs that we have today, which are variations on the same thing. So now in Mishnah number 2, we address the second variation of how the water in the puddle was exposed to tuma. In this variation, somebody didn't drink from it, but he actually took water out of the puddle using a container that was tame. So he was milei b'chli tame. And now, the three possibilities might have happened. He put in a kli tame and then someone tahor drank from the puddle. Well, we're worried that one of those drops was in the water and that was matame everything in his mouth because now he took it out of the puddle and therefore it was included in the din of a person who drinks a mouthful of tame water, which is matame amid rabbanan. That's the way that the other Rishonim learn, or according to the Rambam, the reason that he's tame is because that water has now been set aside by human commitment to use it. And therefore, even in the puddle, it was tame. He doesn't have any problem of things being bottled. Those were the two approaches. So the variation is somebody filled up a kli. Okay. The situation number one, somebody drank from it. Situation number two, somebody had used a kli tame, and now situation number two was someone then puts in a kli tahar. Same problem. The kli tahar now becomes tame again because maybe now in the kli tame, there's a drop that had fallen from the first, or according to the Rambam, since you want to use the water for putting this kli tame into it, it can be metame, the kli tame, despite the fact that it's on the ground. That's the Rambam's approach. Variation that we have over your situation, I should say, number three. Same variation. Somebody had put in a kli tame, and the situation, number three, is a kikar of truma falls into this puddle. And he then, again, according to the other Rishonim, he washes off the bread in the water for some insane reason, which means that now he's taking it off out of the puddle. So then we're worried that the tame drop was in that water that cannot be makabel tuma. Or, according to the Rambam, imidiach, if he washed off his hands and now he wants the water, therefore, to be mashke, so now the water is mashke to be metame, not only mashke to be mekabel tuma. And therefore it was metame, but if he didn't wash off his hands, according to Rambam, imlo hidiach, it's tahar. So again, according to the other Rishonim, it's tahar because it was bottle. According to Rambam, it's tahar because there was no human agency or intent that was involved, and it's not considered to be a mashke to be mekabel tuma. Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel. This would be variation 3. Variation 3, again, variation 1, somebody tummy drank. Variation 2, somebody took a kli tummy and was tevel it. Variation 3, naflu mayim tmeim, and situation 1, vishata tahar. So water that was tummy fall into the puddle, and someone who was tahar drinks from it, now he becomes tummy. Why? Because maybe now he had some drops from that tummy water in his mouth. According to Rambam, he's tummy because since he wanted to drink from it, he now makes that water a mashka, and it's a mashka that has mayim tmeim, and therefore it became tummy from other mashkim, and it will be metameim. Very straightforward. Situation 2 in variation 3. Naflu mayim tmeim, variant 3. Situation 2, somebody put in a kli tahor, it's tummy for the same reason. Maybe there's tummy water in it, according to the other Rishonim, or the very fact that you put the kli into it makes it a mashka b'mekabel tuma. Next, naflu mayim tmeim, that is variant 3. V'nafal kikar shel truma, imi hidiach tamei. So if he had washed his hands, according to the Rambam, and therefore the water was able to be metame, or according to the other Rishonim, if he went ahead and he had washed off the kikar of truma, so then it becomes tame because of the fact that maybe it was metame and it's no longer bottle, the tame water that had fallen in it, v'im lo idiach. But if he didn't, so then it's tahar because we never took the water out of the puddle, according to the other Rishonim, and therefore it can't be metame because it's still in a puddle attached to the ground. Or, according to the Rambam, it's raw water, and therefore it's not going to be able to be metame until you decide you like this water and you want to wash your hands off with this water, and then at that point it becomes, it's clear, right? Everything clear, all the variations. Now, the only thing that's new is that Rabbi Shimon says, it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference whether he was mediach the kikar or he wasn't mediach the kikar. It's still going to be tamei because since we're talking about a kikar of truma, we have to be makbid that maybe some of the tar water fell off of the kikar and it left behind the tamei drop. So according to many of the mefarshim, it's true whether we're talking about this third case of the third variation where tummy water had gone fallen into it. It's exactly the same in the other two cases. This is what many of the Mefarshim insist. Again, according to the Rambam, it's a completely different issue. And the only thing that Rabbi Shimon is saying is that since in this case, water had fallen in from elsewhere, and that water already was considered to be a mashkin, had been mekabel tuma, as Rabbi Shimon says, you always have to be cheshesh, that it makes no difference whether you wanted to use this water or didn't. It's not like the other cases where you're trying to turn water in a puddle into tummy water. There is tummy water here. Fine. Makes perfectly good sense. So ben shidiach, ben shalo idiach. So this would be Rabbi Shimon. Okay, Rabbosai, beautiful. See you, Bezrat Hashem, for the wonderful continuation. Upwards and onwards. Kol tov, everybody.